are falling into place. Series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. This week we focus on the South End Children's Cafe in Albany, where they provide nutritious meals, nutrition awareness, a food pantry, arts, crafts, after-school homework assistance, etc. for many neighborhood kids and their families. We have a trio here to tell us more about the South End Children's Cafe. We welcome Tracy Kelar, who is founder and executive director of the South End Children's Cafe. Good morning, Tracy. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you. Delighted to have you here. Amanda Boyd joins us, a community school site coordinator for the Giffen Memorial Elementary School. Amanda, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you.
Wonderful to see you. Thank you very much for being here. And Eileen Fitzpatrick is the South End Children's Cafe Board of Director. You're on the board of directors,
yes,
and chair of the Nutrition Science Department at the Sage Colleges, and thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
A great pleasure to have you on the program. So, Tracy, give us the history lesson. How did all of this get started?
Okay. So, we opened the South End Children's Cafe in November of 2015 with a group of dedicated people who really wanted to impact food insecurity, food justice, and food equality in the South End of Albany. We met for over a period of about a year and did some planning. And before you know it, we were opening the South End Children's Cafe. The inspiration for the cafe came from the John Bon Jovi JBJ Soul Kitchen, which is in New Jersey, and they offer free healthy meals in a community type setting. And we really thought that we could hopefully make a difference in the community by offering healthy food free of charge to children and families, bringing community together to sit and enjoy a meal and really recognize what we have more in common than what we have that's different.
You've been in operation for how long?
We've been in operation for 3 years, and we've served over 26,000 free healthy dinners.
Wow.
Yes.
So that's a lot.
That is a lot of healthy food.
So where does ultimately the food come from?
The food comes from donations, whether it be a farm share. Some folks purchase farm shares for us. We get a produce from the Raddick Center. We have somebody dropping off a whole bunch of garlic this week from their garden. We also have people that do food drives for us. We have offices, Girl Scout troops, schools that do food drives for us. And then we have people that donate money. And with the money, that's what we use to purchase produce and protein for the cafe.
So let us talk about that in a little bit of detail, Eileen, about food insecurity and why programs like this are so important.
Well, food insecurity is really a lack of access to sufficient quantity and affordable nutritious food. So there's a lot of food insecurity in the South End Children's Cafe, as well as other parts of the Capital District. But in the South End, it's a food desert, meaning there's no full service supermarket in the South End that people have access to. There's in low income areas, there's also a greater density of fast food restaurants, and there's also a greater prevalence of marketing of unhealthy foods in these communities. So those combined really put this community in a disadvantage. And the South End Children's Cafe, as Tracy said, provides healthy food made from scratch that provides the calories, the energy, the protein, the nutrients and fruits and vegetables needed for these kids to grow, because they're elementary school kids, so they're still growing, as well as for proper brain functioning so that they can do better, certainly in their studies and at school.
When you think about the kids that you help, so give us a sense of how that works, of how you identify them.
So we always unfortunately have a waiting list. And so we have families that sign their children up. We also work with Amanda, who's here from Giffen, to identify families that might benefit from the South End Children's Cafe. Some folks just walk in and ask about the cafe and enroll their children. The children are elementary school age, some middle schoolers, and we have about 30 children enrolled at the program at one time. And the reason the number is a smaller number for some programs is that we only have a capacity of 64 in our building. And so the children, combined with all of the volunteers that are there every day, volunteers in our homework room, volunteers in the kitchen, and volunteers on the floor with the children, put us at capacity just about every day. And so we just talk to people, tell them about the program, hope that their children can come and join us. And then at dinner time at 5, parents come and join the children as well.
So, Amanda, tell us about community school site coordinator. First of all, what does that mean? And ultimately, what do you do to make all of this happen?
Right. So community schools is a strategy for organizing community resources around student success by implementing a whole child approach to education. And so my role as a community school site coordinator is to facilitate getting the right partners doing the right work for the right students. We have set goals at Giffen around positively affecting things like attendance or academic success and family engagement. And so by collaborating with community partners like the South End Children's Cafe, we can work to address those areas.
What do you notice about the kids? I mean, how do you see this making a difference in the kids who are in the school?
Right. So we are in pretty consistent communication, Tracy and I, about student needs, and we correspond and collaborate on how to address them. So if we have a specific student, with specific needs, I can communicate with their teacher, get the teacher in communication with Tracy and her academic team, and focus on what it is that student needs. As a former coordinator, myself as an after-school program, I know the value of a less formal academic space in the way that it allows for a specific type of relationship building. And so in that kind of space, they're often able to build relationships in ways that can breed results that we may not be able to in school. So a student who might not otherwise complete homework assignments will do so at the cafe because they have a dedicated volunteer to work with them. And if we at school can communicate with that volunteer some of the teacher-specific recommendations on that child's individual needs, then that volunteer can utilize his or her relationship to help motivate and encourage that child to get the work done or to study some specific topic or engage them in a specific activity that can address that individual child's needs.
The kids, when they age out of the program, it's ultimately how old? What grade?
At the cafe?
Yeah.
Well, we say fifth grade is
okay.
But if they don't leave, they still come. So some of the kids just like to come. They don't necessarily do their homework, but they just like the atmosphere. They might have younger siblings that are there, so it makes it easier on the family if all of the siblings are at the cafe. So while we feel that our expertise is elementary school, if we have older children that still come, we welcome them.
And because, I mean, obviously, just because of the grade meant, it doesn't mean that the need has changed.
That's correct.
Right?
That's so right.
That's one of the issues. How rare is the project of what you're doing, of how rare is that to find something like that set up in schools?
I'm not sure. I think that the relationship that we have with Giffen and with Amanda is really, I feel that it's extraordinary because the communication is so open and the care for the kids is just so obvious. Amanda and Giffen are really wonderful partners, and so to serve the children, not to focus on their physical, but their overall health and wellness is something that we're able to do together. And there's certainly problems that we've had to call on Giffen and Amanda to help us solve, and doing it together is just, to me, really wonderful, you know, to be a part of a community team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you see working with other schools in the future?
Oh, absolutely. I think this Albany City Schools are really, they love partnerships. They're great at partnering. Any experience that I've had with all of the schools in the city of Albany have been wonderful.
So, Eileen, let's zoom out for a little bit, for a moment, and talk about just the overall need, not only in our community, but, I mean, one of the rules of thumb here when it comes to food insecurity is that need always seems to get greater.
Yes, it is increasing. I work with the food pantries for the Capital District,
right,
and the need is definitely increasing. Yes.
We see that in the food pantries. Obviously, we do a lot of work with them as well, and it's so that the need is increasing. The pantries that they are now affiliated with has increased as well. So this is yet another way to get to the food people who need it. What are some of the other ways, do you think, that need to be implemented?
So we've tried to improve the access by making greater availability of food pantries, of community meals and programs like this. I mean, I think this is crucial. The idea also, I think, that's unique about Tracy's program is the fact that the fresh fruits and vegetables, exposure to kids to fresh fruits and vegetables, learning to eat those foods at a younger age actually has long-term health implications. So decreased diabetes, decreased obesity, decreased cardiovascular disease that starts at this very young age, these healthier habits. So that, I mean, I've been there when the chef has been encouraging the kids to try new things and the access to those that aren't always accessible through food pantries. We're working much harder to provide healthier foods through food pantries and soup kitchens. It's just it's a challenge.
Okay, so let me I'll allow you to put on your full nutrition hat now.
Okay.
and talk about what that means and how you make that work in the rubric, the setting of a food pantry.
So it gets very complicated because fresh produce is promoted by the food bank and the food pantries, and typically it's free for whatever amount you want to take. The barriers tend to be that people don't know how to prepare them, or the kids don't like them, or they don't like them. So we've tried to do greater messaging about how to prepare some of these foods and how important they are in your diet. But certainly, I did some work up in northern New York, and one of the barriers up there was they don't typically cook with a stove, but rather with a microwave.
Right.
So again, understanding what facilities people have and catering the products that we can provide to them, as well as, you know, recipes or even taste testings we talked about doing, which is kind of what they do in the cafe. The kids get to taste it. So if they like it, they're more likely to eat it in the future.
And obviously you try to get things that they're going to like and taste, because that only works for everybody. I know the food pantries works off the My Plate model. I assume that's what you espouse as well. This is different. I grew up with a food pyramid. Now it's My Plate. How is that different, or is it?
Well, I think they just thought the plate was more effective of a model, because people look at a plate, they eat off a plate.
Nobody eats on a triangle?
No, nobody eats on a pyramid. No, so I think
they were aware of it.
I think from an educational perspective, it was more effective. I think the thing that people forget is half the plate should be fruits and vegetables. So, I mean, one of the things Tracy and I talked about is they provide a salad before every dinner. And so this idea of promoting fruits and vegetables for long-term health, there's components of fruits and vegetables beyond basic nutrition that can prevent cancer, can, you know, reduce cardiovascular disease. So all of those things are important to include. And the fact that, you know, these kids are accessing fruits and vegetables and not, you know, consuming things from the corner store or like chips or fast food makes a huge difference in their long-term health.
So tell us about a day at the cafe.
Well, first of all, our board president calls the cafe magical chaos. So the chaos is a wonderful word if you use it correctly, I guess. So we have the kids come in after school. They get to the cafe about 3:30. If they have homework, they get their snack and they go to the homework room. A snack typically is a piece of fruit. They go to the homework room where they receive one-on-one homework help. Our homework room is directed by a retired teacher, and we have a number of volunteers who are either retired teachers, current teachers, or college students who are interested in teaching or know how to do the Common Core homework with the kids. The kids that don't have homework stay in the...
Go back to school just to learn that.
I know.
Go ahead.
The kids that don't have homework stay in the cafe, where we have stations set up, because we understand that all of the kids don't have the same interests. They've been in school all day. They've been sitting for the majority of the day, and we want them to be able to move around and to express themselves. One thing that we've always been that we're really proud of is that we're technology free. So everything that we do at the cafe is game playing, communicating, creating, doing arts and crafts. Sometimes the kids will be in the kitchen with the chef. The kids on Friday always cook in the kitchen, or they might go in and help prepare something in the kitchen. Particularly kids that need that extra encouragement. Some of the pickier eaters, we might encourage them to go in and work with the chef, so that then when food comes, they've played a role in making it,
sure,
and then they want to eat the food. Then at about 10 of 5, we start our cleanup. We always go outside, sometimes even if it's raining, because it's important for the kids to get outside. We have two beautiful playgrounds near us that we frequent. We walk to the Radix Center, which I know you've done a show with the Radix Center before, and the kids actually will pick some produce, and they might eat it right there. They play with the chickens. They go in the greenhouse. We the other day, we took thank you notes with cookies to all of the local police and fire stations to say for Happy Thanksgiving. We try to do some community service because it's important for us not to only be receivers but also to be givers. And then at 5 o'clock, everybody sits down and we have dinner. And dinner is served to the children. We start with a salad. We serve water and milk. And we have a wonderful dinner today. It's chicken, rice, and broccoli. Mm. And we always end with a dessert, just a little bit, just a little piece, and nobody gets seconds.
Eileen is watching.
No, everything can fit.
Right. And so the kids can't have dessert unless they ate something healthy on their plate. So,
well, it's a beautiful thing that you're doing. You can find out more information by going to southendchildrenscafe.org, southendchildrenscafe.org. We also have the link posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Tracy, Amanda, Eileen, thank you very much for being with us and for the beautiful work you're doing
for
our community.
Thank you very much for sharing. Too.
Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities. See more promise. See more progress.